Blog Talk Radio. Grateful for you. You could be doing something totally different, But God bless you to be here with this particular outlet to share a word or two from on high. So I thank you for chiming in. And so I pray this will not be your last time. I pray that you will tune in again. However you got here, I want you to thank that person for inviting you. And if it was me, amen. But if it was somebody else, more importantly, thank them for tuning you in to an awesome, awesome hour of power that I believe in my heart God strives for us to learn how to be encouraged, to be educated, and to be empowered all to his glory. And so we try to make sure that there's an encouraging word, that you will be left with an encouraging message or something that will motivate you to do something different, and then that you will learn something. It may not be a brand new topic, but you'll be educated enough to do something, to be about something different than what you actually had started out to be. And then last but not least, that you'll be empowered to make the necessary changes that God has laid on your heart. Not necessarily me. Praise God. I'm hoping just to be a vessel. But I'm believing and trusting God that he will give you a word to be empowered by, to change, to make the necessary changes. And then when you do, be empowered to share it with someone else. So again, be encouraged, be educated, and be empowered. That is the goal for every broadcast. So we pray that you tune in each week. For those of you, praise God, just in a couple months, I'll be able to confirmly say 9 years we've been in this vein. And so I'm so grateful for you, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be encouraged. I wouldn't be able to know and study and show myself to prove to rightly divide God's word because of you. You keep me encouraged. You keep me motivated. You keep me empowered to study more, to do more. And some of y'all helped me to live right. Amen. And so I just thank you. thank you that you keep me focused and you keep my eyes toward God. And so I will always acknowledge you. I may not be able to say all of your names, but I am so grateful that God has blessed you to be in my life and on this path so that I can be what God has called me to be, and that is to be a teacher of the word. So thank you. Now, none of this would be possible, and I have to call the names of Jesse and Tammy Store every week, because without them, I wouldn't have known this was a platform, let alone for 10 years. Are you kidding me? I'm so grateful that God has blessed me to be in their company, to be in the midst of their ministry, to be in the midst of their growth and fellowship and doctrine in the word. And so I'm always going to call their names out and give them the credit that they necessarily are righteously dedicated to have, because they are true to their assignments and they are doing what God has called them to do. And praise God, I just pray someday that I will be able to repay them or even, amen, just to make them proud. And so I'm so grateful, again, that God has allowed them to be a witness for me, that you can be whatever God called you to be, and you can do that for other people. So thank you. Our greatest and our biggest praise has to go to God. And so we always start the broadcast with an upbeat song, because we know when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. We acknowledge those of you that are listening, whether you're new, whether you've been here for several years, months, or however long you've been here, we want to acknowledge you. And then, of course, to the Omega Ministry Group with Jesse and Tammy Store. And then we go to God in prayer, because without him, none of this would be possible. And so we want to make sure that we yield to him, so the understanding that we have on tonight will be something not just for information that we'll just know. We want revelation so we can make the necessary changes to be about what he's called us to be about. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father. You didn't need no help. You don't need our help. But we thank you, Father, that you use us. You use us to your glory. You use us to your benefit so that we can do what is necessary to give you all the praise and all the glory. But more importantly, Father, we want to be obedient to you. So help us, Father, because we don't know. We don't know sometimes where to go, where to step, how to speak, what to do. And so we thank you that you just didn't leave us hanging, that you gave us resources and that you give us all kinds of things that help us along the path to be the soldiers and the disciples that you've called us to be. So first, we have to thank you for the word. We thank you that you allow your men and your women to come together and put this in print. However it got to be in print, Father, we thank you, and we don't take it lightly, that we know that your word says that your word was inspired by you, and so we believe it. And so we don't have to fall victim to those that doubt your word or those that try to make us doubt your word. We know because we've tried it to be true, and we know it for ourselves. And for those, Father, that don't know, give them an experience so that they can, it can be real for them, that their word is a living word for them. In Jesus' name, we ask that in Jesus' name. And then, praise God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you didn't leave us by ourselves, that you left a part of you. Praise God, we celebrated Easter, and we just thank you, Father, for your sacrifice of coming and dying on the cross and shedding your blood. That's my next thing. Father, we thank you that even in the midst of that, you still left a part of you here so that we could be able to have an intimate relationship with you, where you would allow us to know really when to be quiet and when to speak, when to sit down and when to get up and when to run and when to walk and when to just be still. So we just thank you, Father. We can't thank you enough. And more importantly, like I said, Father, we thank you for shedding your blood on cross so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty and pay that heavy, heavy price for our lives to be redeemed. And so we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be righteous in you and allowing us to be able to come before you with clean hands and a pure heart, because you provided an opportunity for us to ask for forgiveness, and that you forgive and you forgive and you forget. And so help us, Father, to be as forgiving and to be able to not hold on to things and to let them go, so that we can come before you always with clean hands and a pure heart. So, Father, as I come before you again, asking you to make me invisible, as you become more visible in this lesson, so that we can learn what it is that you have on our hearts to learn on today, we want to make sure, Father, that we don't miss anything, that we get everything that you have for us, so that we can be about your business and do what you called us to do. We know that Jesus fulfilled his mission, and so help us to fulfill ours. We love you, we honor you, adore you. Make me invisible, and you become visible to share this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. But I am here to share the word of God. And so I'm so excited on tonight for the lesson. I didn't quite know exactly where God was going to go with me tonight, but I love, love, love the lesson that we talked about last week, because God gave it to me in, you know, just a few little sentences and a few moments before the broadcast. And so even last week I was a little heated a little bit, but praise God, God fixed it, because he knew that I had to share a word. He knew I had an assignment. But more importantly, I know my mission. I know my assignment. And because I know my mission, because I know my assignment, no matter what situation I'm in, when it's showtime, I know that it's showtime. And it's showtime because I yield myself to God and I let God be God. And so I'm grateful because of the word and all the things that God and experiences and the people that God has placed in my life to help me understand how awesome and how forgiving and how loving and how amazing he is if we just yield to him. And so you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to doubt. But this world system will make you do all those things. But if we really have a true understanding of who God is, we can die to our flesh and move on. And so I'm grateful in the midst of last week, God gave me a message to be able to move on. And he gave it to me through the word JUMP. And we use JUMP as an acronym because it stood for Jesus, J, you understood, M, mission, and then the P was for people. So Jesus understood his mission for his people. And so my question to each of you tonight is, do you know your mission? Do you know your mission? Do you know what assignment God has for you? Do you know your plan? Do you know your purpose? And even if you don't, do you know how to ask him? Do you want to know? Do you desire to be about God's business? Or are you happy and satisfied with what you're doing and then possibly finding out that you missed the mark of the high calling because you were too busy living your own life and doing your own thing because it seemed that things were going well for you. Well, I am here to tell you it is very important. It is entirely important, especially in this hour, that we find out what we're supposed to be doing on the planet for God, because all of us have a mission, all of us have a mission, and we have to be doing what God has called us to do to fulfill that mission. And so the coolest thing about us living in this dispensation is that there's so much education, there's so much information that we have at our fingertips that we got to take advantage of it. And so if I had to title this lesson, and it's so funny how we do the title thing. So sometimes I do a title and sometimes I don't, because I just do what God calls me to do. And so if it has a title, it has a title. But what God gave to me in the midst of me trying to figure out, and I guess I should say, give my daughter some credit because she did say it out loud, and it's just like, wow, okay, this is really cool. A couple, well, it's like more than a couple, but many years ago, when we moved to Georgia, we were looking for a church home, and we ended up at the cathedral with Bishop Eddie Long. And then the drive was just so far, and so it used to bother me because we had never been part of a mega church before. And so I don't even know. I think I'd been to a couple of mega churches because I love Creflo Dollar, so I used to visit. When I visited Georgia, I would go there. But being a member was different. And so I remember how interesting it was that we could put on a Kirk Franklin CD, and we could listen to almost the whole CD before we even got out the parking lot. And I thought, we have to find a church that's closer and not this many people, that we could listen to a whole CD just trying to get out the parking lot. And so, praise God, God led us to a church that was just developing. It was a branch of the cathedral, but it was New Birth South, and it was in, scary enough, you know, I was tripping because everything in Georgia is fire. And those of you that live here, you know, and those that visit really understand. I mean, just to go to the grocery store is 30 minutes, but nevertheless, everything was fire. But wouldn't you have, I was praying and asking God to give us a closer church, and the church was around the corner. Go figure, right? And so when we got there, and because I have always, I shouldn't say always, but most of my life, at least 40%, 40 years of my life, and I've only been on the planet for 50-something. But nevertheless, I have always known the things of God because, praise God, I was blessed to be able to go to a church in my early years that scared me to Jesus. And so I've always tried to live a life that was pleasing to God. And so I studied often, and I mean, I was fearful, but nevertheless. So when I found this particular church, it had everything I needed. And the most important thing that I think made me so, and I'd almost have to say addicted, because it became an addictive behavior at one point. But it was so fulfilling because the mission was to know Christ and make him known. And because I love God and I love his people, that radiated through me. And so even now, and I haven't been to the church or a member of that church for almost 15 years, but that topic still runs through to my core, to know Christ and to make him known. It is so important for us to know who God is. And if we don't know who God is, then how do we have relationship? How do we serve? How do we do the things that God has called us to do when we don't even know who he is? Many people know about him, but not many people know him. And so my challenge to you today is to help you understand why it is important for us to know him. And then when you know him, know him, know him. I have a favorite song that is called I Tell It. No matter wherever I go, I have to tell it. I have to. I cannot not tell it. And so even in my last week, I kind of talked about my little new movement of being a pimp. And it stood for preaching in my pajamas. But, of course, it didn't start out that way. I just needed to be a little bit more stern, a little bit more firm, and be able to learn how to say no. And so I thought that that was my route. And so, you know, of course, that's not part of me. And so God helped me to soften it. And then this week, my mentor that has trained me how to even understand why I need to know who the adversary is and how wonderful it is to be really delivered from the things of this system. I talked to her this a couple of weeks, and she said that, you know, instead of you preaching in your pajamas, why don't you preach in your purpose? Why don't you preach in your power? If you're going to be a pimp and use the right words. And so, amen, I'm preaching in my purpose, and I'm preaching in my power. And so, praise God, in that, it gave me the motivation and the passion to really drive this message home for you, that we all have to operate in our missions. Because if you don't know what your assignment is, then we wonder, and we wonder why we haven't accomplished things in life and why things are not going the way that we want them to go. It's because we're not doing what God has desired for us to do. And even though we may have success in some areas in our lives, we still have a place where we're unfulfilled, and it's because we're not really doing what God has designed for us to do. And so if we know that God sent Jesus and Jesus fulfilled his mission, then we know that we have to fulfill ours. And so when Jesus' mission was complete, then praise God, He knew to leave the example for us to follow his example so that we could complete and fulfill our mission. And so I was like, Lord, how do I do this? Because I'm feeling good, because I want to teach. And he said, well, then do what you do best. And I thought, oh, amen. So I pray that y'all have paper and pencil, because this is going to be a nice lesson. And this is going to be one that you're going to have to write down. And so if you don't have paper and pencil, it's okay, because you can dial back in or log back in on the link that you have, or you just go to my Facebook page, Leah Killings, and it has the link that all you have to do is link in, and you can listen to the broadcast. And remember, it's called To Know Christ and Make Him Known. But I'm going to give you some terms and explain some of them to help you understand why it's important for us to understand our mission and why it's important for us to do what God has called us to do. Now, last week when we talked about Easter or resurrection, whichever topic that you want to call, what we celebrate, the assignment that Jesus had and fulfilled, we know that he came, he died a horrible death, but it was to pay the penalties for our sins. But him doing that, he left an assignment for us all, and most of us that know it call it the Great Commission. And so the Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, and many people say that it starts with 18 to 20. Some say 19 to 20, but I say 18 to 20 because you got to know who actually said it. And so 19 says, therefore go make disciples of all nations. Okay, well, there go. Who's talking? That's why 18 is so important. Matthew 28, starting with the 18th verse, it says, then Jesus, amen. So when Jesus say something, amen. When Jesus came to them and said, he said, not Peter, not Paul, not Joshua, not James. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, that's important, because if we know that Jesus has all authority, and praise God, he's given us that authority, and that comes from study that you understand that he gave us the authority. But in this particular passage, he's making sure we understand he has all authority. And he's saying in 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always and to the very end of age. Now, that is a major, major, major charge to all of us, because that's all of our missions, no matter whether you're a doctor, you're a janitor, you're a cook, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor. Amen. If you're a real pimp, amen. All of us, praise God, have an assignment, and that assignment for God. I'm not saying the pimp has an assignment. You have to do your life to Christ, of course. But nevertheless, if you're my kind of pimp, preaching in your purpose, amen, then you are to go and make disciples of all nations. You are to not necessarily baptize them in the way that what we're conditioned to, because, of course, people do that at church, and usually it's the minister. But praise God, you can pray over them and baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of us are ministers, all of us. So all of us have the opportunity to teach the commands that God has for us. But in order to do that, we have to be in the Word. And so there's some things that we have to do in order for us to understand what our mission and our purpose is. One, you have to give your life to Christ. And so if you haven't given your life to Christ, it's really simple. And I'm talking about really giving your life to Christ. I'm not saying, okay, I believe there is a God. I believe that there's a higher power. That is not giving your life to Christ. Unfortunately, the world system makes us believe that. Oh, I believe in God. No, ma'am. It's not just that. It's so much more than that. You have to live a life that's pleasing. And how would you know that? Unless you read the word, you've got to know what the word says, what you're supposed to do in order to be a believer. I believe that you shouldn't smoke. But I mean, amen. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pick up a pack of cigarettes and smoke and not, you know, I don't know because I'm not a smoker. I got to know if I smoke that, you know, okay, eventually this could damage my lungs. I mean, I hear about it, but I won't know unless I'm a smoker. Now, you can talk to a smoker because they can tell you, yeah, you know, eventually, you know, it can mess you up. So just saying something doesn't necessarily make you that. You have to do the action that goes along with that. And so I love, love, love that my father made me a firm believer. As a matter of fact, I mean, he kind of took some lashes to me so I could make sure I remember. But actions speak louder than words. You have to put actions with what you say that you are. And so if you say you're a believer, then people should be able to see you living that life. And so how do you live a life and a mission for the things of God if you're not doing things that God has called you to do? Amen. And if you don't know how to do them, there is a way for you to find out. You have to read the word. And so the coolest thing, like I said, being in this wonderful time period, there are so many avenues for us to learn. So praise God. Let's get into our writing lessons. First and foremost, in order for you to really understand who you are and whose you are, you have to have the right mindset. So again, in order to make your actions, your words into actions, you got to have the right mindset that you want to do your thing. And so I've said this many times on the broadcast before, and so I'm going to say them again until you completely understand them like I had to learn them. When it finally clicked, praise God, it clicked. You have to have five. Everything's going to deal with five today. Well, most of the stuff's going to deal with five. So you do five and do it like six times because we're going to do five steps for different things. But the first is five mindsets. You have to know who you are to God. If you know who you are to God, then praise God, you'll know who God is, okay? And so if you know who you are to God, you'll know what God, how God feels about you. Number two, you got to know who you are to God. You got to know how God feels about you. And then when you know who you are to God and how he feels about you, it will give you the unction and the passion to want to know what is your purpose. Well, okay, if God, if you love me and I know who you are and I know what I mean to you, then why don't I do what you call me to do? That will help you, ignite you to figure out what your purpose is. And then once you know your purpose, of course, the evil one in this world system is going to say, you can't do that. You ain't educated enough, or you don't talk enough, or you don't have the right skills to do that, or you stutter, or you can't read, or you're not tall enough, you're not skinny enough, you don't have enough teeth in your mouth. Amen. I proved that wrong. But nevertheless, you got to know whatever it is that God has called you to do and know that you are protected. If you know your purpose and you know who you are to God and you know what God means to you, praise God, you will know that God will cover you to do whatever it is that he's called you to do and will give you the provision to get it done. So you got to know that you're protected. And then most importantly, if God calls you to it, you got to know you're destined to win. You know that you're going to fulfill your purpose. Just like last week, I was so heated. And I wasn't heated because I was mad. I was heated because I couldn't believe that the enemy was throwing that many bricks at me, knowing that in 10 minutes I had to share the word. And I thought, really, Lord, where is all this coming from? And God reminded me, well, when you minister, you're supposed to be in isolation. And you weren't in isolation. And so you put yourself in a position where the enemy could throw rocks at you. And so you had to deal with that. But nevertheless, because I know I am destined to win, it didn't matter. that they were throwing rocks at me, because at the end of the day, I knew that God put his shield up for me and I was going to be able to minister. And so that's how much confidence we have to know. And if we have the right mindset, we will know who we are to God. We will know how he feels about us. We will know our purpose. We will know that we are protected, and then we will know that we are destined to win. So, amen, that's your five. You got to know who God is. You got to know how he feels about you. You got to know your purpose. You got to know you're protected, and you got to know that you're destined to win. Okay, so now that you got the right mindset, praise God, you can conquer mountains, because now you're fired up and you want to be disciplined. You want to grow. You want that spiritual maturity, but you got to be disciplined. And so you gotta figure out, Lord, okay, send me to be in your word. And so how are you disciplined? There's five areas. Now, there's more, but these are the five main ones that you need to do to make sure that you're walking in your purpose. You got to have a prayer life. If you don't know how to communicate with God, then praise God. I mean, amen. You got to know how to pray and talk to God. And many times, because the system, you know, has all these definitions and have all this, you know, theories and all, they'll mess you up and believe that, you know, prayer has to be with your eyes closed, prayer has to be with your hands folded, you have to be on your knees, you have to do it over your food. There's so many processes. God just wants to talk to you. That could be anywhere. Now, granted, I'm not saying those things are wrong. Well, God just wants to talk. You can talk to him, you can talk to him on the toilet, you can talk to him in the bathtub, you can talk to him in the bed, you can talk to him driving, you can talk to him walking, you can talk to him in the line at the grocery store. I mean, God wants to be all in all. And so when it says pray without ceasing, it means constantly having a conversation with the Lord. I have shared before, I have one mentor, she talks to God in the middle of a conversation, she's like, wait, excuse me, Lord, really, you really want me to do that? And I used to crack up because I thought, is something wrong? And she's thinking, God's talking to me and I need to respond. And it didn't matter because she made sure God was first. And so eventually I found myself doing the same thing, because when them bricks and them fiery darts and the things that the enemy throws at you, you got to know who you talking to. And you got to know what to say and how to get them bricks off of you and how to get the shield up. And sometimes you need more than a shield. You need a wall tower to make sure that the enemy is off and out of your territory. And the only way you can do that is by talking to God. And how does he talk to you so that you completely understand him? But that's the second thing. You got to know the word. So you got to study. You can't just believe based on because Pastor such and such and such said that we're supposed to do such and such and such. You need to know that for yourself. And so that's why it's so cool that God has given many of us these gifts to be able to break down the word and teach it. But we're giving you the scripture for you to take it and read, because we study it. Praise God. And so everybody wants to know, that's for the pastor. Pastor do that. Well, yeah, because we study it. But nevertheless, we still have struggles too. And so we have to continue to study. And we can't get caught up to believe just because, you know, we studied a little bit, we got a couple degrees, that we straight. No. New level, new devil, because he knows that we're maturing and we're trying to mature in the things of God. So he has to be more witty in the things and the attempts that he throws to try to get us off. And as my mentor said, he has to figure out how to shut us up and shut us down. And so he has to figure out new ways, because there used to be a way, somebody used to call me a couple of names that used to bother me, but that don't bother me no more. So now he got to throw other stuff. So now it got to be accusations and stabbing my character and all the other little triggers, praise God, that I have that turns me and makes me forget. So and those times I got to study and get my words and make sure that I have the word of God in my heart. Because, praise God, saying, devil, get up off of me, you know, may work for some things, but when them darts are coming, I need to be able to stand on the word and say that, what my girlfriend told me, that Oh, my favorite scripture, Luke 10:19. Look, I can say it because I know where it is, but I can trample on scorpions and serpents and know that nothing will harm me. Are you kidding me? I had to know that and had to believe it in order to know now. Okay, amen. And so it was so funny. I kind of had, you know, a little confusion at the place that, you know, I'm kind of fellowshipping with, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And so immediately they assumed that I was talking to them. I wasn't talking to them. I was talking to the devil. I can't do this. And so sometimes you have to speak out loud so the enemy can hear you. And like I said, like my girlfriend was talking, how she prays in the middle of a conversation and she's talking to God. Sometimes when the enemy is throwing them darts and you recognize him and you see him for who he is, sometimes folks may be a little confused because you got to make sure that you throw the word at him. No, we're not doing this. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. No, sir. I'm about to do the broadcast. You're not about to hinder me. I can't do this. And so I had to go back and clarify. I wasn't saying I couldn't do with the assignment that they were asking me to do. I was talking to the enemy. I wasn't talking to you. So, but nevertheless, we got to know with certainty what the word says. And so you got to study. And then when you study and you share the words back to God, praise God. So, I mean, it just opens up to you. It illuminates, like it says, the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. You see the light. You see that I love going to taking airplane flights at night when you can see the lights. In the daytime, you know, it's still kind of cool to see yourself go down the runway on the plane. But at night, when you see the lights and you can see that the pilot is going right now, and that's how tunnel vision we need to have because we have the word of God, that no matter what situation it's in, that we know, because we know that that word is the lamp unto my, you hear me? Amen. You got to pray. You got to study. Praise God. And then when you get to praying and you get to study it, your next step, you got to know how to meditate. You got to know how to focus your heart, your mind, your soul, everything, your mind, will, and emotions on whatever it is that God is preparing for you. You got to know how to meditate on that word. And many times people get confused with meditating with yoga and all that crazy stuff. No, we're talking about just having a passion to scripture and just thinking on it. And that's why I love understanding when you study and when you're in an environment where you're being taught properly, and how when I was in my environment and in my zone when I was teaching and sharing, like the word says, go and teach them to obey. Hey, y'all gonna have me shout. But to teach and to have an understanding that when you meditate on the word of God, it will become part of you. And that's why I know John 15:5 is mine. I am the vine, you are a branch. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that scripture, I know it backwards. I know it forward. I can take pieces of it because I've meditated on it long enough to know, Lord, I repent because I tried to be the vine. I did. I know there is no way possible I could be a vine. But I tried, and I apologize. I repent. I need to be comfortable and focused being a branch. Because being a branch, now this is my meditation. I'm looking at a tree, and I'm looking at how the tree is connected to the root of the ground, and I'm looking at the soil and how the rain continues to water and nurture. And so I see how sometimes the roots are so thick and so rich that they even sometimes come up out the ground because it's so much, because it has been nurtured to the point where it is busting up concrete. I mean, that's the kind of meditation that I do for my scripture, because now I understand if I'm connected to God like that, do you think if a tree outside that could be chopped down and grinded up and be made into paper, I'm stronger than that because of who lives in me? And so praise God, because God's roots are in me. If a tree can break up concrete, you better believe I can bust up some stuff that the enemy's trying to throw at me, that I can get past bills, I can get past cancer, I can get past all the things that this world system throws at me, because I'm meditating on the tree. Lord, you gave me that example so I can understand what the vine was, and that me being a part of it, that I can grow and produce whatever I need to produce in the season I'm put. Do y'all feel me? That's meditation. And when you understand and get that, you know what the next step is? Worship. You better believe it. I can worship God in any season. When they tell me that cancer has spread it throughout the rest of my body, I can still worship. Now, I don't want that to be so, nevertheless, but I can because I know that cancer is not in the Word. And I know that I pray and I talk to God on a regular, and I know that I study His Word and I can commit my word back to Him because He said He sent His Word to heal me and to save me. And if He saves me, He can heal me. And if He can heal me, He can save me. Amen. And I'm meditating on His Word. Truly, 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 I can worship in the most worst of the worst conditions. That's why y'all didn't see when I was sick to my sickest, I still did the broadcast. I can hardly breathe. I can hardly get the words out, but I was trying because I knew my purpose. I knew my mission, and I wasn't going to let the enemy take my mission and my purpose away from me. I know Monday nights at 9 o'clock, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to be here, hook or crook. If I have to do it on the side of the road, amen. If I have to do it in my pajamas, if I have to do it in a dress, if I have to do it in the bed, wherever I have to do and where I have to be, I'm going to do what God calls me to do. Why? Because I have the right mindset. I know that I'm disciplined to do the things that God has called me to do. And then last but not least of the disciplines, the five disciplines, you got a fellowship. You got to be able to minister to other people. That's what the Bible says in our scripture. It says, therefore, go and disciple to all nations. You got to know how to talk to people. How are you going to learn how to witness to people and fellowship with people? And so it's interesting to me because, praise God again, because I love to study and I love to teach, I realize that fellowship and witnessing go hand in hand. We think that witnessing is, again, what the world system says, knocking door to door. Are you prepared for Jehovah's return? Fellowship is calling your auntie or your uncle and saying, how you doing? How has God blessed you today? You know, is there anything that I can do to pray for you? Calling your granny and calling your uncles and calling your cousins and loved ones and people that you hadn't seen in years. That's fellowship. That is going and discipling people, helping those that are less fortunate. This guy the other night at the gas station, I probably knew he was probably just hanging out for change for his little devices. But the Lord told me, you got change in that little thing that you put in there for your little sodas and stuff that you ain't supposed to be drinking, but I put my little change in there because I figure, you know, if I want one, I can just give that man that money. And so this time, I was like, Lord, I put bills in there. And he said, give that man that money. He came up to me, and of course, I didn't have cash because I was going inside to pay for gas, but I said, I'll be right back. And I went to my car, and I got the change, and I went to him, and I said, sir, God told me to give this to you. Now, what you do with it is on you. But God knows what you're going to do with it. And so I believe that you're going to be blessed because he knows that I was supposed to give this to you. And you know what you're supposed to do with it because he gave it to you. And he looked, and amen, I turned around. Now, I could have waited and had a conversation with him, but God told me to plant the seed and keep it moving. So I planted my seed. Now, what happened after that? I ain't responsible for that. But praise God, I was obedient to do the fellowship that God called me to do. Amen. So, five mindsets. Know who you are to God. Know how he feels about you. What is your purpose? Know you are protected and know you are destined to win. Then the discipline. You got to be disciplined. You got to pray. You got to study. You got to meditate. You got to worship. You got to fellowship. Praise God. You do those things, praise God, you know what you're ready for? You're ready for spiritual maturity. Amen. I didn't understand that. I've been in church most of my life, and I didn't understand that there were different levels of my maturity in the things of God. I just thought, I'm going to church. Amen. That's all I need. No, ma'am. There are maturity levels. It is amazing to me. And now that I know what I know, and I know a little bit more than what I did, it's easier for me to see, and it makes me sad. It makes me sad to go to church and see people that I haven't seen in a long time still in the same spot that they go to church Sunday after Sunday. How that happens? How that happens? How do we go to school day after day, year after year, and we get promoted from first grade to second grade, third grade, and so on? You see the progression. And we should, because we're studying, we're doing our part, we're supposed to be. But just being in the environment sometimes rubs off on you enough that you're learning something. But how is it that when we come to church, we're the same? That bothers me. I don't want to be the same. You shouldn't want to be the same. You should check where you are in your spiritual walk and see, am I the same as I was last year? Now, granted, we can probably, some of us, use the excuse and say, it's been COVID, so I hadn't been able to go to church. That is no excuse. Again, we live in this system where it is at our fingertips. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on the computer. You can do it on the TV. You can turn on the radio. You can yell out the window and somebody will yell back. I mean, the word is way too easy to receive for us to say that we can't grow. We can. It's do we want to? Do you want to? And so I love this book that I studied in seminary school. And it talked about there are five levels of maturity. So what are those five levels of spiritual maturity? And so I'm going to tell you them, and then I'm going to explain them, and then I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to have a show of hands. Now, even though I can't see your hands, amen, I still want you to raise your hand when you hear where you are. But I'm going to say them first, and then I'm going to explain them. But the five are seeker, a starter, a struggler, a stagnant, or stable. I'm going to say them again. There's five levels of spiritual maturity. You're a seeker, you're a starter, you're a struggler, you're stagnant, and you're stable. Now, there was upon a time that I was teaching some classes, and it was talking about how different areas of your walk, how you're either this or you're either that, and you're either this or you're either that. And I told the people, I said, now, this is what the book says, but I'm not in total agreement with it. Because I believe in my heart that all of us have different places in our walk where we are. And so I may be a seeker in this area of my life, but I may be stable in this area. And so hear me when I say these levels, because you, like I said, you could be a seeker in this area, and so that's why you need to put a check mark. And then after the lesson, go back and ask God, okay, Lord, where am I a seeker in my life? Where am I a starter in my life? Where am I struggling in my life? Where am I stagnant in my life? And where am I stable? Now, when it comes to smoking and drinking, and I've got to say cussing, but amen, we should be stable in those areas. But nevertheless, we may be struggling or stagnant in some of those areas, but you got to know where you are in those areas. So, amen. I'll let you decide that. So, one of the things that I think we have to be reminded of too, and so me and a girlfriend were talking about how we're so judgmental when it comes to people and the things of God. We can't be judgmental because they can judge us into other areas, so we got to be mindful. We can't assume where people are just because they've been going to church, because I have learned there have been people, deacons, pastors, seekers in many areas. Why? Because they're not disciplined and they don't have the mindset. You got to have the mindset, you got to be disciplined, and then you got to be in a position where you want to be mature, you want to grow. Now, I'm looking at my time and I'm realizing that I'm running kind of close, so praise God. I'm sorry if I'm going a little faster, so I'm going to try to do it as slow as I can to make sure that you get the right understanding, but praise God. So first and foremost, when you are a seeker. So what is a seeker? A seeker is somebody that really just doesn't quite understand the principles and the practices of the things of God. They may be accustomed to some religious cultures because, you know, many of us have at least been introduced to church at some point in our lives. And so we believe that we think that this is what God requires of us based on whatever it is that we possibly have seen. But at the end of the day, you're still a seeker if you don't really understand what God has called you to. Just because God called you to a Baptist church doesn't necessarily mean that God is calling you to the principles and the practices of that church. Because remember, religion is religion, but living a life of God is totally, totally different. But that's a whole nother topic. But praise God, just understand that there's differences just because your doctrine doesn't govern your walk with the things of God. That's just how you practice. Amen? Okay, so a seeker is any person that is still seeking meaning and answers for the things of what God is calling you to. Amen? Okay, what is a starter? A starter is somebody that really has a clear understanding. Okay, now I know. Thank you. Happy that you explained that to me. And so I'm going to go to God. I'm going to ask him for my purpose. And I'm going to really seek him and find out what I'm supposed to be doing and what I'm supposed to be doing with that purpose. That would consider you a starter. Doesn't mean that you brand new. Doesn't mean anything other than you are starting out to do what God has called you to do and being about it. And so to do that, you need to make sure that you're around healthy people to help you be disciplined, because you want to make sure that you're disciplined, your prayer, study, meditation, worship, and fellowship, and whatever that area is that God has revealed to you. Amen. So you know what a seeker is, brand new. Starter is like, amen, you got it, and you want to get it, and you want to be better at it. Now, the struggler. Now, I like to believe that a struggler is not necessarily somebody that, say, wants to ride a bike and just can't seem to get the concept because they still need their training wheels. That's somebody that's in that state because you're trying, so you're still a starter in that. A struggler is somebody that they know the word, amen, and just seem to just can't get disciplined or don't want to be disciplined. And so you're struggling because you just don't want to do the necessary things to be disciplined. And so in those areas, that's where you got to ask God to help you. Lord, what is my moral compass? What do I really want to do with my life? Do I really want to be stuck in the world system, or do I really want to do the things that are pleasing to you? That's a struggler. Not necessarily you don't know the word, because you know the word. You're just struggling to be disciplined, to be obedient to it. Amen. And then we get to our stagnant. Now, what is stagnant? Stagnant would be, for me, in the effort of my book, because I know God has given me an assignment. I know God has given me the resources. I know God has given me everything that I need to get it done, but I'm a little stagnant because I'm disciplined, but right now I'm kind of stagnant. I'm reading and I'm using excuses of why I'm not, like, sitting at the computer and finishing the writing. Because I'm allowing all these other distractions to come. And so part of me could be struggling a little bit, but for the most part, I'm stagnant because I know and I'm excited about finishing. I'm just a little stagnant and I need a little push. And so I need to get back to my discipline, and I need to make sure that I ask God, Lord, show me and allow someone, because for whatever reason, for me, because I know me, because I studied me, that I like when people that are encouraging and motivating to kind of push me a little bit. And so praise God when Sister Beverly told me about, you know, you need to be pushing your power and your purpose. That was God stirring up the water. He was helping me to not be stagnant. No, you get on your purpose. You get out of them pajamas and you do what I called you to do, and you work in your purpose and your power. Amen. And so that's the stagnant. Now, stable. Stable, amen. That is where we are faithfully doing what we're supposed to do to grow in the things of God. Now, when it comes to fellowshipping and ministry and helping people, I am very stable in that because, amen, get my shirt off my back, absolutely. I'll be naked, literally, to help somebody because that don't mean nothing to me, because I really understand what it means to lay my life down for my friend. I know what that means, and I'm willing to do that. There was a time that I was very, very a seeker. I wasn't even a starter or a struggler. I was a seeker because I was like, Lord, I'll die for my children, but I don't know that I die for no stranger. What is that about? But I understand it now, because if Jesus could do what he did because I studied and I understood and I fellowship and I have a better understanding of who God is and what he did for me, and I really understand that, why couldn't I sacrifice myself for somebody to have a better relationship with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm stable without certainty in that. I am stable in certainty that I will never turn my back on the love of God, ever. Nothing could make me or separate me from the love of God. I don't want this now. And that's why it was interesting when I was going through my healing, everybody was like, read Job. No, ma'am. I don't even want to associate with Job because I don't want boys. Although I did have rashes. And I mean, I went through a lot, y'all, with all the medicines and the crazy stuff that I had to go through with that whole craziness with the cancer stuff. But nevertheless, I praise God that I didn't lose my children. I didn't lose all my possessions. I mean, I ain't trying to do Job. But however, if I had to walk the walk of Job, I am stable in knowing that I would never turn my back on God. I'd be confused, and I'd be asking him a few more times, but nevertheless, I would never, ever. God's been way, way too good for me. I'm stable in those areas. Amen. But praise God, put an ice cold Pepsi in front of me. Amen. What to do? Praise God. I don't know which one of these I'd be a seeker, probably a struggler. Amen. Because I'm trying to do better. Y'all, I am almost at 40 pounds. I looked at the scale and I'm like, oh, I've been counting this wrong. I'm almost at 40 pounds. Can you believe that? Praise God. So, amen. So, I think I could walk away from a Pepsi. I think. Amen. But I haven't been tested for that yet. So, nevertheless, saints, we got to do right. If Jesus knew his mission, we got to know our mission. We got to know Christ, and we got to make him known. And how do we do that? We do that by making sure that we have our mindset right. How do we have our mindset right? We got to know who we are to God. We got to know how he feels about us. We got to know our purpose. We got to know we're destined to win. And we know we're protected, and we know we're destined to win. Amen. That's that first side. Know your mindset. Then you got to be disciplined. You got to have an effective prayer life. It got to be effective. It can't not be just sometime where you're just praying over your food. The Lord bless me before I go to sleep and protect my possessions. And thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. We got to be communicating with God. We got to pray. We got to study his word. And it can't be regurgitated information. It can't be just because I preached about it. Read for yourself. Study God's word. And then meditate on it. Know what it means to you. Write down, what is God saying? What do you want me to know in this, Lord? And what will I commit to back to you because I know it now? And then worship, complete worship. You do not have to be a Sunday morning worship service to be worshiping. You can worship on Friday night. You can worship Saturday. You can worship at 2 o'clock. You can worship at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can worship the Lord. Put on you some praise music. And it don't always have to be music. But praise God, music helps get you in that stuff. Amen. You be in a funk for long enough, you put some praise music on, I promise, the right praise music. Amen. You'll want to fellowship and run out and help somebody. Amen. Pray, study, meditate, worship, and fellowship. And then make sure that your levels of growth are right, that you're not a seeker in every area of your life. You can be in some, but ask God to show you how to become a starter. And then if you're a starter, then you don't want to get to a struggler. And you don't want to be stagnant. You want to be stable in all the areas of your life. But write down those areas and write down where you are in these areas. Are you a seeker? Are you a starter? You're a struggler? You're stagnant or stable? And work your way to be stable in those areas so that you can go back to the ideal scripture that God gave us in Matthew 28:18-20. When knowing Jesus gave, he has all authority, and he's given us that authority in heaven and in earth. Are you kidding? Go and make disciples of all nations. Like I said, you don't have to baptize them because, praise God, there are giftings for that. But praise God, you can pray and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. Amen. And praise God, by all means, we all can teach. All of us can teach whatever God has laid on our heart to teach others so that they can obey the things that God has commanded and to know that God will be with us always. Always until the very end of age. Amen. So now, praise God, I know that I'm way over time. Never out of time, but I am out of time. And so, praise God, I pray that you will tune in again next week and hear another inspiring word. Amen. Amen. This is Leah Kelly with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I close the broadcast every week with my granny's favorite song because I know she's listening. And I have a couple girlfriends that love listening to the song too, praise God. And they be mad at me because they can't hear the whole song. But praise God, I always got to make sure I dedicate to my granny. And so I know she's listening, so she's my number one listener. Y'all, please, please, please get in the word. Study to know for yourself. And more importantly, start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you, bless you, bless you, and come back again next week. Be blessed and have a wonderful evening.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
to our God.
praise.
Y'all
know how we do it. Take it up and give praise. It's to our God.